Please stand by. We are about to begin. Good morning. My name is Kathy, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Crédito Real's fourth quarter 2015 earnings conference call. Crédito Real issued a quarterly report on Wednesday, February 24th, 2015. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at +52 55 5228 9753. Please note today's call is being recorded. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements made during today's conference call do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, and company performance and financial results. These statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. Today from Crédito Real in Mexico City, we have Mr. Ángel Romanos, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Carlos Ochoa, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jonathan Rangel, Investor Relations Officer. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Romanos.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us in our fourth quarter conference call. I am very proud and happy to tell you that we have finished 2015 on a high note. Results for the year were in line with company guidance and expectations, with net income growing at a 16% rate year-over-year and with our loan book expanding by more than 27%. During the fourth quarter, we completed two transactions that we have been pursuing during the year. First, we acquired a 65% stake at AFS Financial based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This investment will be the growth platform for our U.S. operations as it has a license to operate at 30 different states and access to more than 500 used car dealers. With our market knowledge and our experience in lending to the underserved Latin population that have little or no credit history, we are joining forces to build a long-term sustainable and profitable business. Our new partners at AFS are the founders of the company and will stay with us in this journey, not only as shareholders but as the operators of the business. Their more than 50-year experience in this business should prove invaluable for further growth and results. Second, we concluded negotiations to acquire a 55% stake at Resuelve Tu Deuda. This is a fee-based company that has been doing business for more than 8 years today. The main product the company offers is helping people repair their finances in order to be able to pay their existing late debts to different creditors. They offer this product both in Mexico and in Colombia, with a customer base of 25,000 active customers by the end of 2015. They also provide accounting services to very small SMEs, as well as people with economic activity. Their active customer base here is around 1,500 active customers. Their third line of fee business is acting like an insurance broker and offering different types of insurance to both the individuals and the owners of the small SMEs. A huge opportunity lies ahead for Crédito Real and Resuelve when partnering, given the opportunity to extend loans to this customer base, where we already have a lot of information on the person and his savings history, and on the SME finances that go through your accountants every month and the ability of them to repay a loan. Being consistent with the Crédito Real business model, the founders and current operators of the business are keeping a 40% stake at the company and continuing with their day-to-day responsibilities at the company. Talking about our existing lines of business, payroll kept growing steadily, reaching portfolio growth of more than 20%. This growth was mainly driven through the development of the pensioners market, which provided almost 60% of the year's growth. Although we had margin pressure throughout the whole year, this was mitigated by loan book growth and by receiving more than 70% of our payments directly through the TESOFE, and on time, cutting collection costs through the country. For 2016, we still expect some margin pressure, but more efficiencies both in origination and collection that should be able to balance for the latter. We are again expecting portfolio growth close to 20%, as was the case last year, based on pensioners and other markets, and concentrating our efforts on contracts where the TESOFE pays directly without having to go through the states. This year, we will be working very closely with the partners in which we own a participation to look for synergies between them and exploit them in order to increase profitability. As for our traditional used car line of business in Mexico, we were able to grow by close to 30% in 2015. And with two new dealers this year, we expect growth to be closer to 40%, reaching loans of more than 300 million pesos by the end of the year. In Drive and Cash, we opened 20 new branches through the year and are now up to 57 branches. We have been concentrating our efforts in the center and north center part of the country for our branch openings and plan to keep growing this year to reach a portfolio close to 400 million pesos by year end, which marks a 45% growth when you compare to the end of 2015. We keep seeing big opportunities at the used car market as big participants are concentrating their efforts on financing new cars. Finding the right partners for growth will allow us to build a large enough footprint through the country that should provide a solid base for future growth and profitability. Still talking about used cars, our model in Dallas, Texas, Don Carro, has proven to work and to give us the certainty of portfolio behavior and returns that we were expecting. We are now up to 4 shops within the Dallas metro area and financing more than 200 cars per month, which is 8 times what we did on January 2015. Now that our Latin customer-based model is working as planned, we are expanding our operations and plan to end the year financing more than 300 cars per month through 6 branches. Moving now to the group loans, today we have more than 130 branches attending 170,000 women and becoming the 3rd company in the country. Growth this year should keep at a steady rate as we plan to finish the year with more than 160 branches and close to 250,000 customers. Increasing footprint through the country is building a stronger and more profitable business through the years as efficiency ratios get better every year for this line of business. SMEs had a very good year as we were able to grow the portfolio, keeping NPLs at a very low 3% rate with steady margins. Growth in this business line for Fondo H, our partner, should also be in the double digits during 2016. I left our most recent transaction for the end, as it is not related to the fourth quarter, but just took place a week ago. I will comment shortly on it, as it is very important for Crédito Real and our strategy going forward. So we are very pleased to announce that we bought a 70% share at Instacredit in Costa Rica. Instacredit is a company that has been in business since the year 2000. Today, it has more than 15 multi-product branches in Costa Rica where they give personal loans, used car loans, as well as SME loans. It also has operations through 8 branches in Nicaragua and 1 branch in Panama. It has proved through the years to be a very profitable and stable business. We are very happy that the founder and CEO of the company will remain with us for the long run, developing and growing the existing business. The synergies with Crédito Real are amazing, as the products and the type of market it attends are very similar. This transaction, as the ones in the United States, not only give us a potential to keep growing, but they truly go in accordance with our long-term strategy of diversifying Crédito Real's risk, not only product-wise, but also geographically and currency-wise. With Costa Rica, which is almost a dollarized economy, and our operations in the USA, our exposure to portfolios and revenues in US dollar terms become a very important part of the future of Crédito Real. Going forward, 2016 shall be a year to consolidate the new partnerships accomplished in the latest months and to keep growing in our existing lines of business. We have always thought of our company's strategy and goal on building long-term value for our investors and our shareholders, as well as our business partners. We are sure that the steps we are taking are in the right direction to accomplish our goals. This year will mark a breaking point in the history of the company. 2016 shall provide a solid foundation for solid growth and results in the years to come. With this in mind, we expect net income growth of 15 to 20% compared to 2015 and portfolio growth above 25%. We will make sure we continue to generate value to our customers, our employees, and our shareholders through innovative products and alliances with capable operators we can partner with. With this, I just want to thank you for your support and interest in the company, and I will now turn the call to Carlos Ochoa, who will take care of going through the numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning, and thank you all for taking part in Crédito Real's quarterly conference call. Regarding loan portfolio, our loan portfolio increased by 27.6% to reach 17.6 billion at the end of fourth quarter 15, compared to 13.8 billion recorded at the end of fourth quarter 14. The loan book growth was driven by payroll and used car loans. In the case of the used car loan portfolio, the growth it grew from 360 million to 1.8 billion. It includes both organic and inorganic activity. In terms of origination, we posted a 94% growth with double-digit growth rate in all our lines of business. Non-performing loan portfolio as a percentage of the portfolio was 2.4% this quarter compared to 1.9% ratio last year. The NPL is in line with the 2 to 3% long-term objective as we attain larger diversification. We observed a small decrease in the NPL of payroll against last year and last quarter, and we had some state-level entities delaying payments due to the Christmas break. We believe this will normalize in the following months. The 2.5 NPL percent observed in payroll is in line with our guidance. We keep supporting our portfolio growth with pensioners. This quarter, it represents 27% of origination, and quarter's origination increased by 38% year over year. Nearly 87% of our new loans came from three main distributors in which we own equity. Our SME portfolio increased by 12.7 to the end of the year with a balance of 1.5 billion, almost 1.5 billion, compared against last quarter. It shows a decrease that is mainly explained. By seasonality. The fourth quarter was less dynamic, and our product has a short-term duration because attend SMEs working capital needs. Our durable goods portfolio decreased 10% year over year, as we have decreasing the number of distributors in our network, and we have privileged asset quality over growth. In general, we maintain tight credit policies. In the group loan business, our operators Contigo and Somos Uno reported a 52% loan portfolio expansion and a 60% year-over-year growth in origination. As we have previously disclosed on our balance sheet, we only recognize the funding provided to our partners in which we own equity. The group loan portfolio in our balance sheet reached 305 million pesos, but the loan portfolio of our partners reached 534 million. Our group loan partners also maintain asset quality as seen the 0.8% NPL reported this quarter. As of fourth quarter 15, our group loan network serves over 160,000 active customers. Allowances for loan losses this quarter was 486 million with 1.2 times coverage ratio. We believe the current coverage ratio will reflect our reserves needs. In terms of interest income, during this quarter, we reached interest income of $1.24 billion, increasing 25% when compared to the fourth quarter of 14. Similarly, the year-to-date recurrent interest income increased 31% when compared to 2014. Financial margin. The financial margin increased 28% to $993 million, showing interest income growth and decreasing funding costs. Similarly, year-to-date, recurring financial margin rose 39% when compared to 2014. Regarding foreign funding, we improved our average funding costs from 7% to 6.1% year-over-year. For us, this is a substantial improvement. Our funding cost improvement is benefit from a solid capital structure, as shown by our 38% cap ratio. Provision for loan losses reached $111 million this quarter. In terms of cost of risk, this quarter we reported 2.5%, which compared to the 2.6% reported in fourth quarter of 2014. We are gradually increasing our cost of risk because of portfolio diversification. Administrative expenses reached $396 million during fourth quarter of 15, showing a 64% increase when compared to 2014. Year-to-date, administrative expenses increased 81%. In both cases, the increase is mainly driven by the consolidation of Condinero, AFS acceptance, and Resuelvo's expenses. Investment in our used car distribution network, as well as investments in brand recognition and marketing efforts. Participation in the results of associates reached $20 million this quarter, a similar figure to the one reported in the fourth quarter of the previous year. 2015 figure decreased to $71 million in 2015 compared to $84 million posted in 2014. And the annual decrease is mainly explained by the effect of consolidating the Condinero, which we previously recognized under the equity method in this account. Net income. Net income increased 8% this quarter, reaching $372 million compared to $345 million in the fourth quarter of 14. 2015 recurring net income increased 16%, reaching $1.371 billion. In terms of key financial ratios, cost of funds for the fourth quarter of 2015 reached 6.1%, showing an improvement against the 7.7% reported for the same period of 2014. 2015 average cost of funds reached 6.4%, the lowest level in Crédito Real history. During the quarter, we achieved return on assets of 6% and return on equity of 23%, which compares with 7.47% and 27% reported in 2014. The efficiency ratio, the quarter's efficiency ratio reached 41% compared to 32% in 2014, reflected the consolidation of Condinero, AFS, and Resuelvo's expenses, as well as investments in brand awareness and used car distribution network. Our capitalization index reached 38% compared to 39% registered at the end of the fourth quarter 14. This is due to a 25% equity increase year over year, which resulted lower than the 28% loan portfolio growth. With this, I conclude my remarks, and now let me turn the call back to the operator for questions.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset or depress the mute function to allow that signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star one to ask a question. We'll take our first question from Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, Angel and Carlos. Thanks for the call. A couple of questions. Just to clarify, in terms of the guidance that you're giving for earnings growth of 15 to 20%, does that include the acquisitions that you're doing, I guess, particularly Instacredit, which you just announced? I just wanted to verify if that is included in that guidance. And then following up on that, in terms of the ROE that you're guiding for of 20%, is that just for 2016? I know you mentioned you probably have some additional expenses. So you just want to get a sense in terms of the long-term ROE, should it still be closer to the 25%, or do you think it'll be naturally going to this 20% level? And if you can maybe give some color on how much these expenses could be or how it will impact the efficiency ratio in 2016, that would be helpful as well. Thank you.
Hello, Tito. This is Angel. About the guidance, it does include the investment in Instacredit. This is a year where we're going to have a lot of investment in most of our new lines of business, especially in the U.S. and in Costa Rica. We're planning to expand the branch base from 50, and we expect that Costa Rica can handle all the way up to 100 branches. We're also opening more branches in Nicaragua and in Panama. And in the U.S., now that we have proven that our model is working, we plan on expanding our footprint in several cities that we have detected, not only in the Texas area, but in other parts of the country. So we're looking at this as an investment year where we should see the fruits of all this coming in the coming years. As of the ROE, you are correct. This year we're expecting a 20% ROE, and this is due mainly to a lot of investment done this year, which will put through expenses in our P&L. But our long-term ROE should remain around 25%. And coming back to the color on expenses, we are consolidating a lot of these businesses. Remember that most of the businesses we participate in are businesses of high operational expenses, and that's the way to get to the low-income people. Our model is to go to the people and not to receive people in branches, so we have a lot of people on the streets. And it's also the case in the business in Costa Rica and both how we're doing the business in the U.S. And as we consolidate more operations in Mexico, as for example, Resuelve Tu Deuda has more than 500 employees, and that, we are consolidating all that expense in our P&L as well as their income. So you should see our efficiency ratio climb to the mid-40s in the coming quarters.
Great. Thanks, Angel. That's helpful. And just maybe more of a kind of strategic or conceptual, the reason for all this expansion outside of Mexico. Are you concerned about maybe the growth opportunities in Mexico? Or are you seeing, increased competition there? Or what's kind of driving this big kind of push outside of Mexico?
Well, we believe Mexico has great opportunities ahead, and the market is still very capable of giving us long-term growth in the 15 to 20% per year. Really, going to the U.S. is thinking about, and I've said it before on these calls, for us, the U.S. is the largest Latin American country in the world. It has 40 million Latin Americans living there, closer to 50 million, and they make 7 times more money than they make in their countries of origin. And most of these Latin Americans living in the U.S. are underserved, the same as the people we attend in Mexico. And the U.S. being so close and having the opportunity to enter the market seems like a natural thing to do, and the growth opportunity there is really amazing. And Costa Rica is really an opportunity that came by us, and such a good opportunity that we couldn't let go by. We were not looking for things in Costa Rica or anywhere in the world. It just came to us. And it was something we just couldn't let go by. It's a great opportunity. We like our partner a lot. He's done a great business. He's built a great company with a lot of value and a lot of future value. And that's why we went to Costa Rica.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ang.
And now we'll take a question from Benjamin Thurr of Barclays.
Hey, good morning, Anke. Good morning, Carlos. Thank you very much for taking my question. Actually, a couple, well, first of all, a follow-up question on Tito's question in regards to the guidance, et cetera. So you just mentioned in one of your comments that you continue to see Mexico as an attractive market with 15 to 20% growth. Now, looking in your guidance, into your guidance for 2016 and the 15 to 20% growth guidance here, including Instacredit and other M&A activity we've seen during the fourth quarter, does that mean that at the very beginning, just because of the very intense cost base and until everything is consolidated, that the contribution from the most recent acquisitions is going to be more on the lower end of expectations? And if you could share what's your outlook, what that could contribute, that would be question number one. And then I have two other minor questions. Thanks.
Yes, Benjamin, thanks for your question. You're exactly right. We see that in the short term, we're going to have a lot of investments to do, and we're planning on growing all of the new operations. So we will see the results on the bottom line of Crédito Real by the end of this year or next year. But when we talk about portfolio growth, we talk about 20 to 30%, we are already including the actual portfolio of Instacredit as of today, and then from there growing 20 to 30%. So you have $160 million more of portfolio today due to the Costa Rica company that we acquired. And from there, we are looking at growing 20 to 30%. The thing is, you don't see this number in the end of the year numbers.
Okay, perfect. So thank you very much for that clarification. And then, more of a strategic question as well. If it comes down, and we've been seeing that underperformance at the durable goods segment, and I know it, basically, it was within the DNA of the company at the very beginning. But now taking a look at the more recent acquisitions, clearly it went into portfolio diversification, other segments, used car. Now the concept, what Instacredit inherits in terms of the portfolio, as well as kind of excluding durable goods. Is there any idea or any thoughts about durable goods in the more medium long term? Is this something you would potentially divest, or you're going to unwind? Because it's basically on all metrics, it's kind of the worst one. It's highest NPL, it's growing least. So what's your strategic take on durable goods?
We have been diminishing our participation in durable goods. The market is very mature. It's been very competitive over the last years. We're really competing against credit cards going with 6 months without interest, 12 months without interest. So we've been diminishing our participation in that line of business, and we plan on keeping doing so. It's not being profitable for Crédito Real anymore. And the attractiveness of keeping on that market or trying to grow in that market in the future don't look very good. So we prefer to start diminishing our participation there. And you could see us out of that business completely by 12 months or 18 months.
Okay, perfect. Very clear. And then I promise my last question. Any guidance outlook on that roughly $6.4 billion debt you have due in 2016 in terms of refinancing, what you're seeing in the markets, just to get a little bit of a sense if just with the current turmoil you're fearing maybe a higher cost of funding because you're going to have to potentially refinance that in the very short term because that's basically within the next 12 months due. So that's my last question. Thanks.
Hi, Benjamin. This is Carlos Choa. Regarding the debt, I mean, what we see, I mean, is in the next couple of months, we have a couple of amortization in the syndicated loans, one for $30 million and the other one for $5 million. And so the rest is most of the amortizations are in the Seguros program. We have we are intending to renew 500 million pesos, which are due in March, and we intend to renew that one. I think that the most relevant element in terms of debt is that as of this day, as of July in the previous year, we fixed our interest rate of over half of the debt. So by now, it's like 52 to 54% of the total debt is fixed in pesos, and this will help us in the future to to face the challenges of a hike in interest rates. In that same sense, we perform a sensitivity analysis, and what we know at this point is that an increase of 100 basis points in the reference rate would represent only would have a negative impact over the net income of the company in just 2.4%. So it's rather limited as it is. Yes, it's a challenging environment. But what we see is that the investors rely on us. We just saw that in the recent transaction that we performed, and we are confident that we will keep it that way, right?
And okay. Benjamin, I would like to add that both AFS in Fort Lauderdale and Instacredit in Costa Rica are independent funding-wise. They both have credit lines with local banks in the U.S. and in Costa Rica, and we want to expand that base of credit providers to the companies locally.
Okay, that makes sense. Perfect. Thank you very much. Now, I'm done. Thanks. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And next we'll go to Mariela Anguiano with BCP Securities.
Hi, Angel, Carlos, and Jonathan. Most of my questions have been answered already, but just going really quickly back to the Instacredit acquisition, how is this funded? We understand it's $81 million, and if so, what's your pro forma cash and debt?
In order to fund this transaction, we got a syndicated loan from Credit Suisse. It was a $100 million transaction. This one is unsecured. That's the most important part. We already fixed the interest rate in pesos at 9.3%, and this one is the first amortization is due the next year. The 30% is due next year, in February next year, and then you have a couple of more amortization, 40% each over the next over a 6 month period. Each one of those. Basically, that would be. That would be the general the facility that we got for this transaction.
Great, and you guys have been mentioning that 2016 is an investment year. What's your estimate as far as CapEx for 2016?
We really don't see it as CapEx because all of our expenditure goes through the P&L on the year. We don't use the balance sheet for investment. And I mean, opening branches, the type of branches we have, is not really expensive. The expensive part is getting the people and getting the branches to get running and to get really generating revenue. And that's how we handle that. So you see everything on the expense side, but not on an investment side on the balance sheet.
Understood. Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And once again, that is star one to ask a question. We'll go next to Ana Taria of Signum Research.
Good morning. I have a question about Instacredit. I'd like to know where are their NPLs and what's their interest rate on their loans, and how do you see it will affect your metrics and your efficiency index?
Yes, and I was looking for the numbers here. Give us 1 second, please.
Thank you.
The NPLs for Instacredit are on the 3% range, and basically that's on the 3% range. Probably we should talk a little bit more about the way they operate, in which they have an operation which is centralized into the branches. I mean, what we like a lot about the way they operate is that all the employees are portfolio oriented, not only on the origination side but also on the collection. That definitely helps to have those NPLs as low as the 3% that they currently have.
An interest rate range between 4% and 6% per month. I don't know if that
okay.
answers your question.
Yeah, thanks. And I'm sorry, what's the size of their portfolio, their loan portfolio? How much will it add to yours?
$165 million as of the end of
2016. Thank you.
And next we'll take a question from David Lee of Lazard Investor.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my question. I just have a question. I know someone touched on it already, the NPL in the payroll business. I understand it's up a decent amount year over year. I just want to understand what's really driving that. You guys mentioned the press release, the Benfica, and also the pensioner. I just want to understand what kind of drove that that increase, and also if you could just explain how you know, the NPL in the payroll business has been so volatile over the last year or so.
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of the NPLs for the payroll business, there's always a seasonality as of the last quarter, and this was also the case, especially with the state level agencies. On the state level agencies, there's a seasonality due to the Christmas break, and that's something that we've been facing over the years. In general terms, what I could tell you about the payroll business is that now that we rely a lot more, now that the percentage of the portfolio that corresponds to the either unionized teachers and pensioners, which they two combined, they amount for about over 70% of the total portfolio. And these two segments of the portfolio, they are very trustworthy in the terms of collection. We are definitely focusing our commercial efforts will be to continue to focus on these two segments, which are proven to be the most reliable in terms of collections. So we would see the NPLs to go down to the 2%, around the 2%, which has normally been. We don't see them as volatile as volatile as you mentioned.
Has the pensioner business mix affect your NPL? If you're excluding the pensioner business, would the NPL be lower than we reported in the payroll business?
That would stabilize definitely. It will come down. We definitely think it will bring it down to 2%, to that range in the 2%. They are a very the asset quality for the pensioners is very good, and it's probably one of the best in the product.
Okay. I have another question. Just on the operating expense, admin expenses, I understand they were up like 50-60% year on year. I just want to understand what investments are you guys making? Like, why are they? Because we thought like you guys are buying fairly mature, you guys are buying businesses that's already making money, where that fluctuates with the revenue, right? I'm just kind of curious why that went up so dramatically. How should we think about that normalizes over the next quarter or maybe next year?
A good explanation is we are consolidating all these expenses that we didn't have before because the workforces were on the balance sheet of the distributors and not on ours. And the case of Resuelve today was a good example because it's a fee business, so you won't see that on the income side of the P&L, but you do see the expense of all the people, and you'll see the income of Resuelve, which is already consolidated on the year-end P&L. You'll see the income on other income, but you won't see it on the margin or up on the P&L. But you do have all the expense at the expense side. I don't know if I was clear with that. But being a fee business, we don't want to mix that with interest income.
And there's another thing also, especially regarding the 2015, it's important to bear in mind that we consolidated a $60 million portfolio by the end of the year. So we didn't get, and we just got the income of 1 month, right? So that affected the some efficiency ratios and some of those ratios. However, as Angel is mentioning, you know, the Resuelve case is very enlightening in the sense that if you isolate the effect, only the effect of Resuelve, which relies a lot, which is a labor-intensive product that we carry, if you isolate that, our efficiency ratio should be in the range of the 38%, 37, 38%. But now that you see it consolidated, it definitely goes higher.
David, also, for the purpose of clarification, the following four quarters, we are going to show the effect of InstaCredit, because InstaCredit is also having an effect on the efficiency ratio, and we're going to disclose it in the following quarters. So you can see the effect only of the expenses of InstaCredit. I think that would be helpful.
Okay. And also, I want to ask you, the InstaCredit deal, you talked about, like, you know, on surface looks like it's a very good deal in terms of the price you guys pay. We just want to understand a little bit about what are the synergies, like, once you guys finish acquiring them. Are the synergies, I mean, because you said they're already a very well-run operation. Where are the synergies? Is it because you guys can provide them with a better, lower cost of funding? Is it because you guys can offer them more products to introduce into the market? Can you talk a little bit about the synergies by being part of Credito, so how we can sort of see that, you know, help out your business over time?
To start with, the cost of funding should be able to come down. And then we're thinking about what we can do with our call centers. We're thinking about what other products that we have in Mexico we can bring over there. And the products, the way they're offered in Costa Rica, we're seeing how we can bring them to Mexico. And then you have a lot of synergies on the back offices that we are also looking at and planning to do something. This is so new, it's just from last week, that we're just starting to have ideas and to see where we can benefit from this.
Well, finally, probably to wrap that up, is that, you know, the company, it has a double-digit ROA as it is. So it's a very, very attractive investment. So
for this year, the net effect of InstaCredit, considering the new syndicated loan that we just discussed, is that you will bring an extra $10 million, and you will bring an extra new debt expense of $7 million. So net, you will have some $3 million net income dropped by the InstaCredit transaction. So that's what we're thinking about of earnings of 2016. Looking forward, it should be growing. But as for this year, that is the contribution we see.
And so I follow up. So does that mean, so did the family sell out 70% of the ownership, or you bought that 70% that's owned by a private equity firm, and the family just didn't really sell their shares?
It was family owned. There were two shareholders, 50% each. We bought one of them out completely. And the guy that really made the company and operates the company and has all the know-how from this company staying with us, we like him a lot. He knows the business as nobody does. And he sold us 20% and he's keeping 30% stake in the company.
Got it. Great. Thank you.
And next we'll go to Jordan Heimowitz of Philadelphia Financial.
Oh. Hey guys, congratulations on a very good acquisition. Very quick question. When I play with the numbers, it seems to be about a 5 peso number in 15, maybe a little more, is a good way to think about your earnings power with InstaCredit. Is that reasonable?
We haven't looked at it that way, Jordan, but we'll make the numbers and come back to you immediately.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Let me just ask it this way. Do you think that the... Hello?
Yes, tell me. I'm listening.
Do you think 20% growth in 17 and a 20% plus ROE is reasonable?
Yes, very reasonable.
Okay, so it'll come out at about that number.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
And again, that is star one for questions. We'll go next to Natalia Corfield of J.P. Morgan.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the question. I have actually two questions. One is in your liquidity, and the other one, capitalization. The first one in liquidity, you have around 6.4 billion pesos maturing in 2016. I'd like to know how you're going to address that. I knew you had undrawn credit lines of 6.8 billion. I'd like to know how much you have already used of this 6.8 billion. Also, you had a market bond program of 5 billion Mexican pesos. I think you had already used 40%. I'd like to know how is that in this quarter. And after that, I'll ask my question on capitalization.
Okay. In terms of the debt due over this year, short-term seguros program here in Mexico, that should amount for 1.5 billion, around 1.5 billion over the year. What we see in that case is that there's a lot of appetite for the issues of the Crédito Real over the years, so we are not concerned about those. Basically, the challenge would be, and it's not even a challenge because we already have those in mind, the amortizations of the syndicated loans that are due in March are also in April, and those amount for, let me tell you, those amount for over 550 million pesos. So basically, we are also taking into consideration those, and what we are trying to do in general terms for the debt is to extend the maturity of the average maturity of the debt, which currently stands around 2 years. It's on the average, it's around 2 years, which matches perfectly with the assets, right? And the duration for the assets on the average is 1.7, 1.8. So the liability matches perfectly the asset. In terms of the long-term seguros program here in Mexico, we have 1.2 million due, 1.2 billion due over the year. The next one is the 500 million pesos in March, and we have 600 million pesos in November. What we are intending to do is to increase the size of the program. And important to mention in that same sense that a couple of months back in October, we made the largest issuance here in Mexico, 1 billion pesos. So the important thing is that we see an appetite for Crédito Real in the market, and we believe that will continue over the year.
Natalia, to complement Carlos' answer, we are already talking to banks in order to increase the size of the lines we have. I think a good example will be in Afinsa, that we are planning to increase the size of the line that of 1.5 billion to 2.5 billion that we have with them. I mean, we have been working on those increases by the last few months, and we think that we are not going to have an issue with that. And regarding the Segura program, of course, it depends on the local appetite, but so far, and the meetings we have had with some investors, we see the appetite there.
Okay, thank you. And about your capitalization, I know that there are some goodwill and also some intangibles. I'd like to know how much it makes of your total equity of 6 billion.
In terms of the intangible, as of 15, the intangible didn't move that much. It went up just 300 million pesos, and that was a result of adding 240 million pesos or something, around 250 million pesos of the Resuelve transaction and another 100 million pesos of the AFS transaction. With the combination of these, it went up from 600 and it moved to 1.5 billion as of the end of the 15. And we still don't know how this will affect the Instacredit transaction. We still are not sure how will this affect over the year, but we don't think that it will change a lot. And we are definitely, those figures will appear on our first quarter disclosure.
Yes, you will see the intangible effect on the first quarter report. already considering the study to make the grand valuation of InstaCredit that probably will make the biggest part of the intangible asset, but we don't see a really material effect. Maybe the 700 million pesos is the figure that we showed in the restructuring format that we disclosed the day before yesterday, and that should be something close to that figure.
Okay, in terms of goodwill?
That is mostly, I mean, you can classify those 700 million between goodwill and intangibles, and we believe most of it will be classified as intangible.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll go back to David Lee of Lizard Investors.
I have a question about, like, all of a sudden you guys are doing a lot more M&A, right? And you're consolidating Resolve, and also the used car business, also Costa Rica, right? I just want to understand a little bit about, like, how do you guys feel like you're spread too thin, given that you guys are doing a lot of just little things outside of your core Mexico market?
Hey, David. Hey, back. You know, I mean, the people we are partnering with, I mean, probably the key element over there is that we are not alone. The key people, the founders of these companies, the key elements of these companies remain in the business. I mean, that's what we like about the way we do business over here. We are not starting the business on our own. We are not starting from scratch here. They will remain on board. And that's how we feel comfortable. So we don't believe, I mean, we are confident that this is a solid foundation for any business.
We wouldn't go to any of these countries alone, David, thinking that we were more intelligent than the local people and would be able to do business better than they are in their own countries. So we believe our strategy to partner with the best of the best in Costa Rica will prove very beneficial for both.
Okay. And also, I just want to go back on the additional expenses regarding consolidation and also, you know, the investments you're making in the used car business, right? So this quarter, these expenses were up 64% year-on-year. Should we think for the next few quarters that rate of change will slow down and eventually will flat lines for 2016? And then maybe it will grow the same rate as revenue or loans in 2017.
What you will see, especially as of the first quarter, you will see an increase due to the consolidation of Costa Rica, which you haven't seen yet, compared to the fourth quarter of 2015.
Actually, what we expect is that the expense is going to be higher than 60% in the following quarters because it will include the effect of InstaCredit. So efficiency ratio to give you a guidance that you can take for your model purposes, you can use the mid-40s that Angel mentioned, the 45 to 50% maybe. That will be a reasonable range of efficiency looking forward.
Okay.
And Mr. Lee, did that answer all your questions?
Let me see. Oh, yeah, I want to ask you a question about the used car business, too, because the used car NPL was up a little bit, and I still understand, obviously, the used car business grew a lot of it because of the acquisition. I just want to understand a little bit about why is the NPL up so much? How much of it is, I'm guessing, it's probably due to mix. Can you help me understand that and how you guys look at it going forward?
Yes, actually, it increased, I mean, year over year from 0.3 to 1.3%, but it is still below the sector. The sector is reporting a 2% NPL in this same product segment. So we don't really have a concern. Of course, as a product of diversification in the United States, you should see an increase in the NPL, but nothing that is above our 2 to 3% guidance.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And with that, it does appear we had no further questions. I'd like to turn the conference back to our presenters for any additional or closing comments.
No, on our side, that would be it. And we just thank you all for being for being in this conference call.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's call. We'd like to thank you again for your participation.